at one man, one desire. Pablo Francisco. Me.
You.
Flaco's here.
What's up?
What happens when Frog is here? He shares a microphone. So what's up, fool? Everybody, welcome to the What's Up, Fool podcast with Felipe Esparza, Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man.
And Rodrigo's co-host.
Flaco Martinez.
Isaac Martinez.
The playoffs, baby. What's
not up? To be confused with Flaco Jimenez, the famous accordion player from the Texas Tornadoes.
Yeah, I always get that.
Yeah, so Happy New Year, man. We're back, man. I know you guys missed us. We missed you guys. We love reading all the tweets. Hey, when is the next show going to come up? Man, we're right here in... What's up, fool? We're at the American Comedy Club here. The American Comedy Club in San Diego. And we're doing a comedy show here tonight. We have one more show tonight. It's Sunday, you know, so...
Sold out.
Sold out Sunday show. And the American Comedy Club is a very good comedy club. It's owned by an old friend of ours from the San Jose Improv, Justin. Hey, guys! Guys! So what's up, fool? Yeah, man. So, man, I'm for those of you that don't know, man, we got married. Well, I got married.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Flaco showed up, man, with his suit on.
Hell yeah, dude.
Rodrigo got the light, or...
No, Chris Thorin got the light.
The last minute addition, like last night, you're bring that fool up, dog. Have him say some words. I was like, all right, this.
I didn't think you were gonna bring him up.
I was like, that's what you want. I was like, fuck, dick. I don't want to be this fool. Wants that fuck it. I'll bring that little motherfucker up here, dog.
Yeah, he went up there, man, and tried to do a joke about it. First of all, man, the wedding was tight, man. A lot of people showed up. I want to thank Ralphie May and his family for showing up. Lana Turner, his wife, his two kids.
They had a ball, dude.
Al Madrigal and his kids showed up, and his wife. My mom showed up late, but she showed up.
She had to get ready, though.
Man, she showed up late. Man, she showed up right after I said, I do. And my dad was there, man, his little walker right there patrolling, asking favors on the day of his father's wedding.
When else are you going to do that shit, dog?
My brother showed up. The ones that were invited. And Lisa's boss, Fred Stoller, was there.
Oh, that's right.
Shout out to Fred Stoller showing up with 3 hours notice.
Eric Andre, I saw him there.
Eric Andre showed up. And Sully McCullough, bro, we're giving out name dropping here, man. But those are the people we invited, and they were there.
Might as well add in Joey Medina, dog.
We had Joey Medina showed up, man, trying to kiss everybody. I thought he was trying to take away Flaco's chick. Anyways. So, and Armando Cosillo was there, man, with three comps. No.
This guy.
He was there with Gabriel. Is he named after Gabriel Iglesias?
Nah. Gabriel the Angel, dick.
Gabriel the Angel.
You know, out of the Bible and shit, probably.
All right. Or San Gabriel.
Yeah, there you go. Juan Gabriel.
Juan Gabriel, this fool.
It was pretty tight, man.
It was cool. It was intimate, dog.
It was intimate. I read my vows.
Set up nice.
The food was awesome.
We have vegan food.
Well, there's other kind of food there too. There's a ton.
How was the magician though? I missed them.
I was in the outside when I
came. Justin Rivera.
Yeah.
Comedy to the stars.
Comedy
and magic.
Yeah, I didn't see it, fool.
I didn't see it. It was that quick.
I was wondering, man. Like, hey, man, I didn't hear no feedback.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Dick. You bring him in as a magician. He's like, oh, man, I don't want to bust that shit. I'm trying to mingle without doing that shit.
He did?
Nah, Dick, oh. I'm just saying. Like, imagine.
Because I wrote jokes now, bro. I'm not doing magic anymore.
No, because I didn't hear no feedback. Like, hey, man, that magician, man.
That
damn.
One trick he did with a chair.
Give me his
dog.
Phone number, man. Now, instead of, I guess he couldn't follow the cake.
Oh, the cake was bomb, fool.
The cake was vegan carrot cake for you listeners out there. It was vegan cake, vegan carrot cake on top, pumpkin spice, and spice on the bottom by Amy Locke.
She got the cake.
What's her name on Instagram?
Jane Doe.
Jane Doe. That's a good name. Jane Doe.
X-O.
Jane Doe. JaneDouGh at Jane Doe on Instagram, man. That was her first vegan wedding cake she ever made, and it came out awesome. I wish I had a piece right now and didn't get to taste it. You know, the one thing about the wedding, I couldn't taste food, bro.
Why?
I don't know. I was in the moment, I guess. I was in a different high. I was all happy. I felt like I graduated, you know.
You can't taste the food until you hit those five different flavors that you guys tasted together.
Yeah, man. we didn't have a traditional wedding, you know, where there's a priest and the whole Eucharist and all that.
But it's traditional for the fucking postmodern society. For
yeah, but we had the taste of the elements, man. We had what did we have?
Vinegar was the first one, or which one was the first one?
We had vinegar first. And then we had
for the bitter, yeah.
And then we had lemon
for the sour.
And then we had pepper
for the spice.
And then the last one.
And then sweet for the sweet.
Honey, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, man, we tried everything but a 9-volt battery for the shock. So then Chris Thorin goes up on stage.
That's what he thought he was doing.
Rodrigo, man, he was doing the best man speech, and man, he split his time. He gave Chris Thorin a guest spot, and that fool bombed. He was over there trying to make joke about the elements, and man, even Steve Danner, okay, man.
It's Felipe's wedding, man.
Yeah. I think someone gave him the light, no?
Everybody gave him the light.
But how'd you feel, Dick, like, being married, like, Dick, like you said, like, you feel like you graduated, like, what, like, I'm a man now, Dick, or like, what, or you just feel like, you know what, now I'm settled a little bit, like, the feathers are down, the wings are down, dog, I'm like, not as...
I don't know, man, I just felt weird, man, like, good, actually good, man, and I feel like whenever, like, if you're, like, in a bad relationship or anything like that, and then you get married, man, then when you get married, man, it's like you're starting off with an A.
Is like it bodes well, that yeah. bullshit.
You start off with, when you get married, man, the relationship starts off in the beginning again.
Like the beginning.
Everything that happened in when you were boyfriend is done. That's just, that disappears, man. It's like you start off with an A. You know, once in a while, man, you start missing classes, you're back to an A-.
Like Dangerous Mind.
Let's start ditching again, dog.
You start hanging out with Rodrigo Torres, man. You know, this fool's good. Come on, man. Your wife will tell you, you can't hang around with guys who still go to continuation.
You're going to start to drop your A, right?
Dude.
I'm hanging out with Flaco, a guy that goes to night school.
Oh, man. Not anymore.
But it was cool. You felt good. Everything. I mean, of course, Dick. But I mean,
our fool. The next day, it's funny, man. Like after our wedding, we still went to Taco Bell.
Oh, you guys love Taco Bell, though. Like,
my wife had her veil, and we ate Taco Bell, and she ordered. It was like a. If you're listening, Richard Montes, it felt like a Frito-Lay commercial.
Griswold.
So we started off the wedding with only Pepsi, like. Because that guy from Pepsi hooked us up with those tickets. So I said, all right, we'll have Pepsi at the wedding. So we have Pepsi. Oh, and then at the end of the whole night,
that's right, huh?
We went to eat Taco Bell, bro. And we had Mountain Dew.
Jack and Pepsi.
With Fritos, the fucking barbecue twist on the side.
Good, dude.
And that's your Frito promotion. Yeah, we did that, dude. And the next day, fool, ran into... the drummer from the Butthole Surfers.
Oh, we saw that picture. That was fun.
Yeah, King Coffee, bro.
Yeah, you called me, fool.
He was out there just talking to somebody, bro. He was just randomly talking to somebody. And he goes, yeah, man, you never heard of the Butthole Surfers? Man, we were the shit, man. And then, I jump into a conversation. I am the king of burglarizing a conversation, bro. I'll jump into a conversation and take over.
All excited, man.
I said, Butthole Surfers, I know who you are, bro.
Captain
Silver. And I started singing the song. And then I said, you were in that video, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I used some words that you say. And then I was in, brother. And that fool shook my hand. He gave me a kiss on the cheek. Congratulations on your wedding. He said he was going to go hang out with Christian Hosoi at Venice Beach, bro, yeah. And hit bowls.
Dude, he looked pretty drunk.
But I'm thinking about Christian Hosoi sober, right?
Yeah, he's
sober. So he's going to, after all the conversation, King Coffee asked me, hey, man, you got a bowl. A nug. You get a nug, brother. You get a nug, brother. And, dude, he was fucked up, bro. I thought this fool was drinking bottled water, but that bottled water was full of vodka, bro.
Those fools are the real thing, dog.
He don't fuck around, bro.
Those fools are the real thing. I mean, that fool hang out with the Pope and he won't stop.
And he was telling me these crazy stories, bro, about getting into fights with the suicidal tendency guys.
Oh, the Venice guys?
The Venice guys. Because they're from San Antonio, bro.
The Butthole Surfers, right?
Yeah, and I asked them, bro, how does a hardcore band come on like that in San Antonio? We kicked a lot of fucking ass, brother. And where the fuck do you surf in San Antonio?
In buttholes,
but they're serving buttholes. Yeah, man. So that's what it was.
And those fools been around for days, dog.
Yeah, dude, I have a clip of that fool talking about it. About the Butthole Surfers. Hold on, here we go. What's up, fool? First day of being married, and guess what I run into? Keith Coffee, drummer, a fucking Butthole Surfer, baby. Fuck yeah, hardcore punk out of fucking San Antonio, Texas. Just to let you know, man, this is none of that bullshit, like, find a little, the most prettiest guy in the band. Let's make a cheesy-ass band, man, and put an MTV. This is a real hardcore shit, bro. Fuck CBGB's, West Coast. Tell them, bro.
Attention! South Side Ocean. Yeah, we fuck bitches in the ass. That's why we're called the Butthole Surfers. Only when they ask.
what's your email so I get a hold of you?
I ain't telling that. Right.
Yeah.
You heard that fool, he said, man. He goes, hey, we're wild, man. And we fuck girls in the butthole. That's what we're called, the Butthole Surfers.
Hell yeah.
But man, only when they ask. And I tell him, I get him for his email. He said, nah, I didn't give you my email, man.
I wanted a bowl, dog. Hey, dog.
Yeah? Oh, he did give him his email, but not in person.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, yeah, everybody, man, in the world will fucking start smashing that fool, dog.
So what's up, man? So I did that. We hung around Venice Beach for a while, man, and I was on the Marina del Rey at some bridge, and I run into these Scottish fools, bro, who were fucked up already. These old Scottish guys, and they were telling me about their friend who got into, like, he got like a heart attack or something, or a heart murmur or something, and they sent him to the hospital. But they were asking me how to get to Venice Beach, so I told them how to get to Venice Beach, and these fools showed me a text of their friend at the hospital right before heart surgery, and his fucking text was gonna get this heart surgery thing taken care of real quick. Meet with you mates later, man. Have a good time. These fools are gonna go. He thinks that he's gonna go fucking get fucked up right after the heart transplant, dog.
Dude, fucking car, dude. They'll put a little stint in there and fuck it, dog. Vamonos, dude. Fucking Scottish ass fools. They don't give a fuck. They just want to drink and party and have a good time, dog.
So what'd you guys do, man, after the wedding? What'd you do?
We chilled out. Puff, dude. And then remember we went back to your pad. And then, you know, puff some more. And then fucking with Birdman and little Chris Storin went to go take those chicks back to Santa Monica and came back. And that was it, fool.
I puffed and passed out.
What happened, man? I thought you were going to smoke out with Fred Stoller. Where'd he go?
He went home, fool.
He went home?
Yeah, I think he seen there was like 2 minutes. I'm just going to go home. Nah, I'm good. Like, there was like, I don't know. It seemed like there was too many people, and that fool was like, nah, fuck that. That nigga wanted a little exclusive session.
That fool was pacing like he was waiting for the phone, bro.
I was eating breakfast at this place called Seed in Venice Beach, because they have vegan food there. They had a vegan breakfast tacos made out of tofu. But Joe Diaz didn't show up, bro.
Oh,
that's right. That's right, man. I was very busy, man. I was in a car. I was filming and, man, couldn't get out on time. That's right. No, he didn't make it, man. But he did give me a French press, he said.
Okay, what? He said he was filming for the Dog That Saved Christmas, the last one.
Oh, nice. That's coming
out. Yeah, big
He filmed that every year, right?
Yeah, well, he's done 6 of them, fool.
The dog. If you guys want to see Joey Coco Diaz, man, go watch that movie. Rent that movie, man. The Dog Who Saved Christmas. He's been in all of them.
The Disney one.
The Disney one. So right after the wedding, man, like on Tuesday, I flew out to Hawaii. And I did a show at Hawaiian Brian's. in Hawaii.
How's Hawaii, fool?
Beautiful, bro. Beautiful, man.
How were the shows?
Man, the shows were great, man, but it was beautiful, man. It's funny, like, in Hawaii, all the homeless people are white. Like, there are no Hawaiian homeless people. There's a lot of white motherfuckers, bro. Like,
they came there?
They came there from Australia. They started to be a surfer, failed, and now they're homeless, bro.
It's like bizarre.
And now downtown. They're giving tours to Americans. Fool, you're homeless. His tour should be, that's where I sleep. And that's where I bang, mate.
Dude, he's going to go over there and just take your money, dog, like a fool.
Yeah, man, but I hooked up with some fool named Anthony Negrete. Mm-hmm. He's a half Italian, half Japanese, but in Hawaii, he's Keanu Reeves.
Oh, okay.
He looks Hawaiian, but he's a Hopi or Hapa, whatever they call that shit.
The peoples or whatever, the people that are native to that land or whatever?
Yeah, whatever they're called, man.
The common shit.
They call each other Hapas. Half Japanese and half whatever, man.
Oh, like, because the Japanese got there before the Americans, huh, fool?
Yeah.
Some shit like that.
It's fucking expensive over there,
hell
bro.
Hell yeah, Norman Lake, fool.
When I got there, man, they were filming Hawaii 5-0, the series for CBS.
The TV one?
And I was trying to stand there and see if I could get noticed by anybody, bro. Get a little cameo.
The little Tony Curtis pose?
For real, bro. I was there like, trying to slip my 8x10. Or trying to be extra loud so I could be seen, man.
It's food, huh?
So the first night when I got to Hawaii, man, I got in the water, man. And right away, man, I walked too far and got a fucking mean-ass rash, bro.
What happened?
I had to pay $11 for fucking, what's that shit I bought?
Gold bond or what?
For that, it come in for that Neosporin, dog. $11 for that motherfucker.
How'd you get all rosado?
For what? Fucking being fat and walking around.
Oh, I thought in the water.
Come on in, man. Come on in. Come on in.
Okay.
No,
man.
Okay.
It stung my ass. Yes. Hey, have a seat. Oh, shit. They brought back the lemonade from last year.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, they don't have lemonade here no more. What the heck?
Hey, Dick.
Dude?
But didn't you lose your wedding ring too, dog?
Oh, man, you got to bring that shit up, bro.
Oh, I'm just saying, dude.
I'm on my third wedding ring, bro.
What?
The first ready ring. The first.
They wanted
it. Hasn't been
the
a
first.
Month yet.
They wanted it.
Yeah, this fool.
It was holding me down.
Butterfingers, eh?
Dude, my wedding ring, I went inside the water to bodyboard, and that motherfucker slipped off. Oh. I didn't even notice. And then, you should have seen me when I saw Lisa with no wedding ring. I looked like that little kid after he shot his eye in Christmas Stories. Pretending he didn't do nothing. I lost my wedding ring. Fuck. So then, she was frantically looking for that shit, bro.
In Hawaii, in the ocean?
In Hawaii, bro. I didn't even know where I lost it. So I said, man, I felt bad. I said, I wanted to go look for another one, right? So I went to three different jewelry stores. And then I found the same wedding ring, but, you know, smaller. It didn't have no bling bling. So I got that one, and I wore that one. And then when I got home, she had ordered me one, and I replaced that motherfucker with a new one. So now right now I'm wearing two wedding rings, one on each hand, people, just in case.
You're on double lockdown now, bro.
I'm on double lockdown, dog. And then, man, like, so you start up. I've been married now, a couple of weeks? It's like you're starting off fresh, man. Like, you don't want to really bag on her yet, you know, again. For real, man. Like, you don't want to make fun of her laugh or stuff like that. Because then they go, oh, this motherfucker can be back to normal already.
I don't want to lose my A, bro.
I don't want to lose my A, bro. I don't want to go to a fucking C, bro. When you're in a C, man, you're fucking laughing at everything, eh? Yeah, so, man, I've been trying to, you know, man, be a husband. Yeah.
That's good. That's what it's about.
So fuck, eh? I got the first night, dog. I had to go to a fucking open mic, bro, and judge a comedy contest. Man, they had a lot of comedians going up, and Hawaiian comedians are pretty funny, man.
Oh yeah, they're good.
This new era of comedians are funny because they're not doing like you know, how you go to some Latino shows in LA. And a lot of the stuff is only funny in Cudahy.
What are you talking about?
No, for real, man. A lot of the food, they do that regional shit, man.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
Local shit. So before Hawaiians, I guess we would do local reference to the island. But these comedians are more like Martin Moreno will say, they're cutting edge, eh? Like the guy who picked me up, he's this big fucking Samoan, bro. He's like 6'6". John Maine. Shit, I might just book that food in LA just to fucking open and bodyguard, bro. So he's a big dude. He's pretty funny, bro. He's talking about how nobody ever kidnaps Samoan kids.
Oh, that's pretty good, dude.
He goes, kidnapping a Samoan kid and like sneaking a rhinoceros out of the fucking zoo in the daytime.
And that's the babies.
Hey, you get a tag there, John Maine. And there were some other fools there, man. But, man, the comedy club where I performed was nice. It was all right. It was a good club. Everybody, it was like a lot of Mexicans, first of all. And that was the one thing the host noticed. Fuck, where all these Mexicans come from?
Everywhere.
We swam here, dog. We came here for the good times.
Hell yeah. Dog.
So that was that, man. And the show was great, man. There was a lot of military people there. Because let me tell you, man, the first time I went to Hawaii, I got robbed. Like I expected like to be like to get put a laid on a aloha, welcome to Hawaii, like they do in the movies.
Right.
But nah, man, it was a black guy smoking a cigarette in the airport. He said, "Yo, man, you Felipe? Yeah, well, grab your bag, we leaving." And that was it, bro. No aloha, motherfucker, nothing.
You got robbed by the promoter.
Then. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought on the street, dog.
No, the promoter robbed me, bro.
As soon as you said black guy, I was like,
in Hawaii, you don't get robbed, bro. They hand you money. Aloha. So, yeah, man, Hawaiians, they're real cool people, man. The show was great, man, but, man, it was hot over there.
Yeah.
I went to North. Once you go to, like, North Shore, it's different from Hawaii, man. They got, like, real people, man. Where there's a lot of people over there. I saw some Hawaiian gangsters.
So it's not the Hawaii that we think of. That's like the real Hawaii right there.
The real Hawaii where you see like, yeah, man. I saw pineapple fields. Like real pineapples. Meanwhile, Flacco over here looking at George Burns dying from AIDS.
Hey, man, that was a good suit, right?
So what's up, fool, man?
Chilling.
We have a guest right here, man. You guys want to show that mic? We'll bring you introduced right now, bro. Just hold on there, brother. We have a special guest. This guy, you guys might have known him from liking my tweets.
Retweeting the tweets too, though.
Retweeting. I didn't even know how you looked the first time I saw you, bro. I just thought, okay, this is a guy with a frog in a hat.
The only fool that you would look at and go, I never knew he was a fan of Randy Rhoads, dog.
So, yeah, man, we're in San Diego right here, man. We have a guest tonight, today, a local comic here all the way from El Cajon. Now, where from?
National City.
National City, man. And that's by El Centro, isn't it?
No, it's right in the middle. It's between Chula Vista and downtown. It's between here.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I used to come to San Diego to do comedy shows back in the days, man. The 4th and B Theater with you, bro.
Oh, yeah.
The Bearded Lady, Fly, and Edwin. And it was crazy, bro. Like one time we came out here, man, and we were working out here with this female comic, and we were playing Madden, and I guess she was getting no attention. And she said, wouldn't it be crazy if you guys just gangbang me right now? And, man, I said, man, I was scared straight, bro.
I was ready to jump out that fucking window, dog.
I was like, you know what, man? I'm cool, man. I don't need to learn how to play Madden.
Oh, man, you guys do all the good shows.
So I took off, bro. I don't want to get smothered, eh?
Usually, at least there's one in the crew that's down.
All I got to say is one comic stayed back.
I don't know.
Yeah, do it.
I don't know who it was, dog. So, my first time ever over here, I came with Willie Barsana, bro.
Where to? 4th and B?
No, the improv had a comedy night at that Mission Pacific Beach Hotel, or some hotel by the beach on Pacific Beach. You know the name of it?
Catamaran?
Catamaran, probably.
There you go.
And they had the Comedy Isle improv show. And they had comedy there. And I was there with another comedian from Boston. I forgot his name, man, but that fool was 36 and in shape. I mean, he was 36. I was 29 looking like shit. I was in my late 20s doing this gig. And Willie Barcena took me, bro. I stood in his room, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, bro, we do the gigs. Fucking, I mean, I started off, there was nobody in the room, bro. And but they paid you well, I guess. And then we're just hanging around San Diego, bro, you know, walking around the Gaslamp District, man. And damn, bro, we saw these gay dudes that were gay as hell. But they were like punk rock style gay fools, right? And they were gay, right? And I saw this dude punch the shit out of one of them, right? For no reason. And I said, damn. And then I saw this other dude. And they were Marines, but I didn't know they were Marines. I just thought they were like redneck douchebags. But this other dude, he pushed this other little white dude out of the bar and they're fighting. And then that gay dude is getting beat up, right? And then like everybody just watching, man. Like, you know, is anybody going to do something? Anybody going to do something? But I'm from the hood, bro. I just joined in for the adrenaline, bro. Back then, I jumped in, bro, and I punched one of those Marine dudes off the gay guy, so they wouldn't gay bash him no more. And then, like, I punched him, and him and I are going at it. Then I'm laying him on the floor, you know, like giving him the double D's, bro. You know, I was healthy back then. And then his friend came at me, bro. And then I was fighting his friend, and his friend hit me in the forehead, bro, hard. He got me good, bro, but. But he didn't know, man, that my dad used to hit me harder.
Not good enough.
I went at him, and we were both on the floor, and this fucking Asian dude was going to kick me in the face, right? And then, like, Willie said, hey, bro. He goes, he's backing up that gay dude, bro. What are you doing? So the Asian guy didn't kick me, and then, like, him and Willie went after the other dude, the other Marine.
Two of them.
They went after him, bro, and they fucking chased him. They chased him, bro, and that fool ran inside of a police car and hid.
Oh, God.
And then Willie goes, you got beat up East LA style. Didn't leave one punch. I mean, I laid all the punches. Man, my hand was swollen, bro, like a fucking softball.
He's a fucking good correspondent. Fool,
the next day, they gave me the key to the city, bro. The red light district, but I got it.
Yeah.
And the guy from the owner of the bar, he was cool because it was like this black body bouncer and this little short bouncer, bro. He was buff, but he was getting his ass kicked, bro.
Oh, so they stepped in there too, fool?
No, they were getting their ass kicked by those guys.
Oh, okay. I thought you said the bouncer.
And like, it was like two against one. And then he would get knocked out, and there would be two against that gay dude, two gay dudes. But this was the funny part, man. This is a funny-ass part. After everything was settled, and they had that dude that I had beat up already late, kicking back, the gay guy goes, what the fuck, gay? What the fuck is your fucking problem? What the fuck? Fool, the other dude shows up and lays him out, bro. Gah! And that's when Willie and that Asian guy chase his ass, bro, for cheap shotting that gay dude. So, yeah, man, I saved some gay guys' lives that night. And that was my experience in San Diego.
Back in the days, that used to be the thing to do, go to Hillcrest. That's our gay area, Hillcrest. And that used to be the thing to do was roll the gay dudes because they always have money. But, you know, but then it became a hate crime.
A hate crime, right? Before, yeah. I think when I beat up I didn't beat them up, but when I fought those dudes off those gay guys, it wasn't considered a hate crime back then because the cops just saw it like, they just saw it as a regular fight. So what's up right here, fool?
What's up?
We're right here with Flacco right here. Fucking, I don't even know why he's here. He ain't saying shit.
Damn.
Whatever. And we got a special guest, man. Enrique Frog, man.
What's happening, Big Dog?
We only have birds. We have animals on our guests. We have Birdman.
Yeah.
And now we had a lefty. And now we had what's his name? Dog Mariano, Dog Man.
Big Dog.
Woo. And now we have fucking Enrique right here, bro. All the way from Ecuador, right?
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, Tico. Bro. Yeah. So, yeah, man. So, What's up, bro? How'd you get started in comedy, bro? What made you? What made you like Victor Outreach? What happened, bro?
Well, I always wanted to do it, but like we only had the La Jolla Comedy Store back then in those days, and that was like they give you 3 minutes, you might not get on, and with the car I had, I might not make it back. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, oh, I'd just be in this heavy metal band instead, you know, and whatever.
You were in a heavy metal band?
Yeah, I was in heavy metal band, punk rock band.
You had long hair?
Yeah.
What did you play, or what did you do?
I'm a guitar player. Yeah, my family used to call me a coconut. Because they said I was brown on the outside, white on the inside, because all my heavy metal buddies were white.
Your love for music and shit, or what?
Yeah, I always loved guitar player. Like you said, Randy Rhoads, going to a concert next week to remembering Randy Rhoads in Santa Ana.
Would you do any covers? What kind of music did you play?
Yeah, we played covers. We played originals. We were pretty good, but we were more into getting high. Then, you know, it became more about that than it really
was. You were posers then, huh?
Nah, we could play. We were good. But we just, you know, we like to tweak.
What was it? Speed metal? Hair metal?
Well, we played like 80s. Like, everything we played sounded kind of like Iron Maiden.
Okay. All
right.
Yeah. So then, where I first, like, started getting suggestions was I was locked up. And when I was locked up, I would do characters, like with the homies. The homies always asking for something.
This is Ozzy Osbourne.
So they come around my cell, ask you for coffee or for a cigarette or something, and I'll play like the A-Rod. Oh, my friend, you come too late, my friend. We're close for business, my friend. You know, so just, you know, keep them entertain the troops, so to speak.
The trustees, eh?
So you were born in Costa Rica?
No, I was born here. I was born, my parents are Costa Rican.
So how did they come over here from Costa Rica? What, do they sell a ship?
See, my mom came when she was little. And then she went over there when she was like 18. And
did she come through Mexico or flew out here?
They flew.
Oh, right. But they were legal then?
Yeah, they were legal. But then she met my dad when she was on a trip back down there, and he got all in love, and he drove his ass over here.
Man, that pussy must have been good. That's crazy, man. That fucking damn, that fool drove like a soldier.
Yeah. And he did cross through Mexico?
He crossed through like all that, Guatemala, El Salvador, everything. Mexico, yep. And
borders, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how Little Frog came to be.
Little Frog.
Now Big Bull. Frog over here.
That's how you move pads?
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. Like, your dad could win every argument. Come on, shut up, man. I went to 12 countries to get here for you.
Yeah. Oh,
shit. El Amor.
He wins every argument anyways.
I drove here, bitch.
So this guy now that you won't drive 1 hour, man. You live in Riverside? Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
So you have brothers and sisters or what?
I got two sisters, younger.
You used to wear their hand-me-downs?
No, I'm the oldest one.
They used to wear yours, eh?
They used to wear khakis on.
Now, when we were little, we were poor. You know, like, go get hamburgers and put cheese at home. That kind of...
You had cheese on.
Yeah, we had cheese.
Man, I don't remember ever my dad bringing a burger home for us, man. Cheap motherfucker.
That comes to the sixth grade when I finally seen yellow cheese melt, dog.
Like that prison cheese. No matter what you do, that shit ain't melting.
And what's go for it.
So what your dad do for a living out here?
Well, once he got out here, he had some, like, you know, some lame jobs at first, but then he hooked up with this company called Roar. It's like a big... they make airplane, right? Yeah, you know, and now it's BF Goodrich or whatever. But
right.
He's still there. He's about to retire this year. So, yeah, he was a up and coming American dream. He did good. I was ghetto by choice.
Where did you grow up at? What city?
Well, I grew up in National City. Just right. It's
National City by Chula Vista, no?
Yeah, right by Chula Vista. Chula Vista is like the little upper class of the South Bay. And National City is a little bit more dirty.
There's a lot of gangs in National City?
Oh, yeah.
Different gangs or one?
There's different gangs, but now they're on a truce where they don't fight each other.
Damn.
What was your first show like then? Your first comedy show?
My first comedy show was at the Comedy Palace.
In right front here. Of the judge.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a lot of those shows first.
Did no, you ever see the same judge again?
Yeah, Judge
and he
Rodriguez.
Said, what the fuck? Hey, you got a callback?
Yeah. Judge Rodriguez knew me by name.
That sucks, dude. Rodriguez?
Yeah, and he was a bastard, too. Like,
he's
he
not
was...
from Miami, right?
No, I don't think so.
Because this is Judge from Miami. I don't know if he's Latino. I mean, he has the best That's line, which I'm going to use in the movie, bro. He goes, he gives this guy, I don't know how many years he gave him, but before he gave him, he went like this. He goes, here's your time. I'm not gonna tell you how much you're gonna do, but your parole officer is not born yet.
Damn.
Fuck.
Damn.
Damn.
That's when a hard motherfucker cries and shit.
Triple life.
Triple life. Think about it, bro. You're there waiting for your 100 years, 25 to life, 50 to life, but the judge looks at you and goes, you know what? Your parole officer is not born yet, and you still got 30 years.
Yeah.
We're going to bury this fool in the yard.
Okay, 30 years. We have, I get 50 years.
Hey, and then on the inside, those fools with that time are asking you, hey, fool, you think my old lady will wait for me?
Damn.
I'm going to tell her bro. When I get out, dog.
Hey, what's your address? I'm up for parole. Do they do homies do that, though? Like, they know a guy's doing life, or they go try to be with somebody.
Oh, man. I think the homies on the outside already got that handled.
I know, man, because I would hear stories, man. I would do that a bit. But when I was in NA, Narcotics Anonymous, some guy said that he used to drive his homie's old lady to prison to visit him, and they will fool around on the way over there.
Man. Well, you know, some of the...
He said, two-hour drive, homie.
He's a prisoner of love.
Some of the homies in there are real, like, realistic with it. Like, I know she's going to do some shit. Long as when I get out, they're gone, and my place is still there. Hey, whatever.
Hey, dog.
I'm like, damn, fool, you're strong.
Hard times.
Yeah.
So when did you start getting caught up with the homies, dog?
Again, during that time with the bands.
When you were a rock star?
Yeah,
rock star.
I thought I was.
So one day Eddie Van Homie right here.
Yeah.
Van Cholo.
That's when we figured out that, you know, you could get more for cheaper, you know? So, you know, we started getting our little sling on here and there. And,
the band?
You know, yeah.
Everyone, dog. Everyone. The roadie too, dog.
Yep, everybody.
We would do gigs just to sell dope.
That was our merch.
You guys are robbed the audience, huh?
Yeah, man. Some people have merch. We'll be selling drugs at the end of the show. We got crack.
Yeah.
What kind of shit were you guys doing, dude?
We're tweaking mostly.
Really? Meth, speed?
Yeah.
That's when speed started blowing up?
Yeah, well, here, it was
That's
here.
That's what it's here.
Yeah, it was always here, yeah.
Motherfuckers just tweaking balls.
Yeah, like that. So bad one time, like in front of a 7-Eleven, we were right there, and there was a guy riding by on a bike, and the cop just drove by. Instead of stopping him, he just yelled out the window, "Go to sleep!" He was like, what? Yeah, that's how that got bad.
I just know that San Diego always been, like, it tries to hide its dark side, you know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Because they try to pretend that, oh, Gaslight District, but then people are getting fucking cheap shot and knocked out in this Gaslight District every night. It was just kill somebody outside, right?
A couple weeks.
Yeah, it happens. It happens still here, yeah, for sure.
Because this is where Pete Wilson came from, right? Do you remember that shit? When he was like mayor and shit?
Yeah. Oh, when he was mayor here, this place was fucked up.
Really?
Like, you didn't come down here.
This place was crappy, huh?
This place was like that. Skid Row.
Because I remember barely coming with the 4th and B with you, Felipe, was when it barely started getting that gas lamp vibe and shit.
Yeah.
We came down for that street scene, too, fool.
Yeah.
We seen Cake and Social D.
We came out here to see Cake and Social Distortion. There was other bands, but we saw Cake. And Rodrigo, man, as soon as we got there, that motherfucker snuck in fast. he didn't give a fuck about us, man. He was just fucking... This fool hopped that gate fast, bro.
Yeah.
And it was in. And we stood up there like, fuck, how are we going to get in there?
Yeah.
Fourth
to B, you could open the back door, too. Just, like, lean on it, leave it a little bit open.
Lean on it, dude.
We got in, man, at that, what they call the San Diego Festival?
The street scene
here in San Diego to see Cake and Social D. And, man, we were walking around, me and my friend Vinny, and I saw, so gross. I saw Ron Jeremy sitting by himself, bro, with a fucking baggy-ass pervert pants.
And I
told my friend Vinny, he goes, your dad, eh? And I pushed him into him.
Oh, shit. You know he was sweaty.
We seen Ron Jeremy for a moment. What did he look like? Like a big-ass gopher dog.
Yeah, man. He was looking like, man.
Yeah. I ran into his back, but somehow I touched his dick.
Welcome to National City.
Yeah, okay, shit.
So what kind of shit was that tweaking leading to, dog? Like
jail. For sure. I mean,
it got bad. When did it get really bad? We were robbing each other.
shit. Well, when it got real bad, well, I used to know this chick named Anna. And she was like the valedictorian of our high school. Mm-hmm. But then she fell on hard times, and I met her again a few years later. And she had all these scams that you would do. Like for example, a pair of Levi's, right?
Yeah.
Back in the days, there was a label on the back of a pair of Levi's said, this is a pair of Levi's. It is free of defects from manufacturers. If something's wrong with your Levi's, take them back to the place where you bought them, and you'll get a new pair.
Yeah.
So that meant like, not a hole, but like a seam broken or a button came off or something, they'll get you a new pair of Levi's. This bitch was buying Levi's like it was going out of style, right? But she needed motherfuckers to return them. So if you had a license, boom, you returning for her. Boom, going around, returning. And then you buy shit and return it, steal shit and return it. And that shit's when it really started getting out of fucking, you know, they were talking about hitting a pipe through a hose, driving down the street to the fucking JCPenney's. Because JCPenney's, you could get the most money. There were $44 for a pair of 501s. So we returned them there.
You never went back to Miller's Outpost?
Well, we closed the Miller's Outpost in National City. <dude. laughs>
Hey, but I understand that. How can you buy and return the same pants?
No, what's
you,
the thing with a defect? Like, what's up with that?
Yeah, it was a manufactured defect. Okay. Like, if the seam broke, then that was on them. Not like you fell and you ripped your pants. You know what I mean?
You paid the money.
She will buy people's used Levi's.
Oh, that was a trick.
Yeah. You could go and you get, bring your Levi's and she'll give you a little sack. And so people were coming all from all over with their old Levi's.
And then what? You started doing that shit until you got tackled by loss prevention?
Yeah, we'd lop up a button and go take it to back and say, hey, man.
That's a good scam, man.
It was at the time.
Because I remember I saw a documentary and like I saw this crackhead. She had a scam too, man. She would dig through a trash can right next to also the CVS.
Mm-hmm.
They threw a trash can over CVS and say, okay, five shampoos. And she spent $35 on shampoos. Then she'll go back inside the store and grab those shampoos and go, I don't want them no more. We have too many shampoos.
Yeah.
And she'll get the $35 for the shampoos. Yeah. You used to work loss prevention,
Rodrigo.
I was
going to go there.
You would
right
catch
now.
Motherfuckers doing that shit?
This is a trick, dude. Like, I used to work for Kmart. And people would dig in the trash cans or look, as soon as somebody leave. Or some people were even scandalous enough to ask people, even, could I have your receipt? And some people would give it to them. So they'll go in there and steal shit, and then they'll go with the receipt to try to return that product.
Right.
Man, we would gladly give it to them. But we already kind of see them on camera if we knew there's But as soon as we gave them the money, that's when we wrap them up and take them in the back.
Right.
Because that's stealing. That's
oh, yeah? But you knew it stole it.
Yeah. No. We already knew what they were doing because we seen them come in with nothing. Yeah. And then they come with something and they pull out a receipt and they try to return it right there at the customer service desk. And as soon as you give them the money, that's when it becomes a little larceny or a crime. But see, it's a trick, too. Like, if you don't steal over $50, they'll just give you a civil demand notice and then send you on your way. Over $50, you call the cops.
Right.
Unless the dude's being a fucking dick or something.
Yeah. See, the jacked up thing about that is like, see, because that's what actually happened to me. Was we were
that's where this bump came from on my head.
Trying to bring Jordashes.
Yeah. See, we've been doing it all day, right?
Twinkie.
And at the last stop, I got nabbed.
By right? Who?
By security at JCPenney's.
It must have been real thin, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
you were thinner, huh?
No, I was skinny.
Like Flaco?
Yeah. Well, not that skinny.
What the hell?
But, you know, like two Flacos. Still skinny. But yeah, I got nabbed, but I wasn't gonna go because these fools had all my money I helped work to get, and we were about to go come up.
Yeah,
I couldn't fucking go out like that. So, but I did. So so yeah, a little shoplifting turns into assault and all that, and there you go. That was the first good one, first good bust.
That was the first time getting busted?
No, but that was the first one that was like where they had gonna attach time to it. You know,
but you guys were doing that for a while. Did they know you've been doing that for a while?
Oh yeah, some places would see like they would just be like, no. There was an Office Depot by my pad, and they were like, no, don't keep it moving. We already know you.
Yeah. But even if you did you ever go to a place where they didn't want to take it, but you still kept the stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what other scams are out there, man, that she have, this crazy-ass bitch?
Anna.
She had the scammer.
Well, I mean, like anything. Oh, there was like a baby outlet. Uh-huh. Like, you know, the little where poor people get their baby clothes? But you get it from there, and they came from somewhere else where they couldn't sell it.
Yeah.
But sometimes they were lazy and didn't take the tags off. So it still has JCPenney tags or tags for somewhere else, but you buy it there real cheap and take it back over there. Or like books, like some fucking President Clinton book or some shit that nobody wants to fucking read.
A book with a cum stain on it.
They got it at the 99. You get them at the 99 and take it back to Barnes and Nobles.
You guys are some fucking tweakers, dog.
Researching motherfuckers.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
What happened? But we finally cut out to the librarian crew.
Yeah.
These are all the fools they used to buy off Heisenberg. Eh?
Yeah. Man, another scandalous one would be this one, bro. If you ever in dire needs, you print up raffle tickets, you start selling them to your family, bro. And just tell them, man, that big prize, mom, is a big TV. And then you get your mom to sell people the raffle tickets for the big prize. And then after you collected all that money and your mom asked you, ¿Quién ganó, mijo? You tell her, who won, mijo? You tell her, oh, mom, somebody from out of town won the TV. But thank you for playing. That's a little worky, but it works, eh?
Yeah.
The raffle scam, man.
Yeah.
We were so close.
So that's fucking. What another scam did this chick have, bro? That's the one that got you busted? What other one got you busted?
Man, she had a bunch. But no, we used to do that one like you were talking about right now, too. When we were little kids, they would get. Because I went to Catholic school for St. Michael's. And they would give us this little, looked like a little milk carton. And it had pictures of starving kids on it. And it's called Holy Childhood. And you would go around to the houses and ask for money for a Holy Childhood. And they'll put it in that little milk carton. Well, we were done. That was only like for a month. We just kept the fucking cartons and kept on going. We come up on our little, because we didn't have no fucking allowance or no shit like that. We needed our little money.
So when you were like in that band, when you were like trying to be in that band, did you guys actually have shows or anything?
Oh yeah, no, we had a lot of shows.
So you guys were good actually.
Yeah, the band that I was in that had the best chance of making it was called The Orphans. It was like a punk band with guitar solos because I had to have my guitar solo.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, and we were sick with it, man. We were sick with it, and we did. We played all over here. We're pretty good, but we were a mess though.
Just right here in the San Diego area.
Yeah, basically,
we were known for partying, brother.
You guys ever play TJ?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Iguanas.
Yeah, definitely.
Fender's Ballroom.
Hell yeah.
What do you ever play with any bands that are known now? Or any fools you met?
No. The only...
Striper.
The only trip out on this. This is the funniest thing ever.
King Coffee.
We were working at this... I was still in high school. Butters. And we were working at this place... That's right down here by Petco, and that now is some upscale office building. But at the time, it was like an abandoned milk factory,
mm-hmm.
And we were working there just roadieing for free beer, you know.
That was the best jobs.
And a band came through, and they were like that, dressed like broads, and we were like, "What the fuck?" But you know, on the flyer, and we were talking shit. And one of the dudes, a dude was standing right there. He's like, "Yeah, man, you know, we just dressed like that for a gimmick." And I'm like, "Oh, fuck, this is you? We just been talking all kinds of shit." And it was, the band was Poison.
Oh.
And they weren't nobody yet. Like, they had recorded their album, but it wasn't out yet.
Oh, Sebastian, huh?
No, it was, what's his face? Brett Michaels.
Brett Michaels.
And them.
Oh, Rocket of Love, yeah. Bro.
And so we, like, they were broke. They were starving. We, like, went out to the front. The dude that we worked for, it was, like, trying to sell pizza or, like, a concession stand or whatever. We went back there, jacked a pizza, brought it for the band or whatever.
All right.
You know, so they were cool with us, and they invited us to go party with them in L.A.
Really,
and,
though?
Yeah, and so my other friend didn't want to go, but I went. I went, like, 3 weekends in a row.
These guys are gonna be somebody.
And they had like an apartment with like that, mattresses on the floor, broke, but chicks were bringing them money and bringing them food and chicks everywhere. So I was like, wow. But you know, at the time their first guitar player had just left because he was like, fuck this, I'm fucking, you know, I need to go home. So he went back to Pennsylvania or whatever. But so I seen how the life was in LA. They weren't getting paid to play.
You ready? You're looking for Levi's, huh?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I don't know, I'm good. I think I'm good right here for, you know. So I had it always comfortable.
So what kind of drugs they were partying with?
Them?
Were you there partying too, though?
Well, their manager was like a hawk. You know, like, he was like, "Are you smoking? Don't give Brett cigarettes," because he would like to sneak a cigarette. Don't give him cigarettes. Don't even give him sugar, because he was diabetic.
Damn. Or something.
So there was, but you know, then they'll get, once they were in L.A., they would get loose, dude. You could get a blowjob for a backstage poison pass in a heartbeat, like that.
Sure, went into was the guy from Guns N' Roses there?
No, you know what?
The drummer?
No, I met the drummer and I met the bass player from Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, the drummer, the party animal, huh?
Yeah,
he
was sick. Yeah, yeah, he was there with us when we were partying at the Poison apartment. Yeah, they were all pretty crazy. The dudes from Poison were a little bit cleaner, except for the guitar player, CeCe. He was a freak. But I think he still is.
What kind of shit you saw, bro? Tell us.
All kinds of shit, man.
Naked, like, chicks, bro. Tell us.
Everywhere naked chicks.
How many dudes did Brett Michael have sex?
Well, trip out on this. When they played at that.
Who'd you spank, bro? How many fucking drumsticks did you take, dog? Because I know, bro, there's something loose, you probably would have took it. Because I know what I would have took it, bro. I would have saw over there. I would have saw a fucking scarf. Wrap it on my leg.
They didn't have nothing to take, bro. They were broke.
It was a hard time, huh?
Yeah, they were broke.
So that's before that whole scene, bro?
Yeah. That was when they were barely trying to get on KNAC, huh?
Yeah, like that.
KNAC.
Their album wasn't out
yet. Rock station was here in San Diego? I know the big one.
We had KGB.
We had KNAC over there.
Hey, fool. So KNAC was before K-Rock then?
Yeah. No, K-Rock always been there, bro.
Always been there?
Always been there.
So what was KNAC's visit for heavy metal?
Heavy metal, bro.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They came in right after KMT, 95.7 left.
105.5,
yeah. Yeah, bro. So how did you go from, man, you guys must have been playing hard to fucking get noticed to go to hang out with Poison.
No, we were just roadies. We were just kids at that time. This was before I was in the band.
So you were rolling roadies. So you saw a lot of sexual shit at that party?
Yeah, but the first night that we met them, they got done playing.
You were like, and then, picking up towels? What the fuck? What are you doing there, bro?
Everybody left. And it was just a room full of chicks. And they went into the dressing room, was probably like this big or whatever.
That sucks.
Don't look at me, dog.
Yeah. They went out. They each grabbed a chick, went back in, 10, 15 minutes. They all came back out, grabbed another one, came back in. 10, 15 minutes, they left, and then all the chicks left because that was it.
Poison, at that time, they were selling out every show in Hollywood, huh? Packing it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. But they had a contract, and their album was recorded. It just hadn't came out yet. And then, like, 2 years later, they came back around. I got free tickets, backstage, everything. And then, like, another year later, I seen them again, and I went out there, and they were like, it's just like, they couldn't like remember me no more. It was like they met so many fucking people. Or see, they were like, "Yeah,
should have held up some jeans, dog. What hair, man?
Let me get those tags."
Yeah. So then that was it, and they changed their number already. So.
Fucking Bret Michaels, man. You let Frogman down.
Yeah, that was it.
So you went from that moment right there, from that when you were in high school being a roadie, where'd you go from there?
From there, we started our bands. And
what was the name of the band again?
We did that. The first band I was in was called Blacksmith.
Blacksmith.
Yeah, that was a heavy, straight heavy metal band. And then the Orphans, which was more of a punk band with, you know, like I said, solos. But yeah, and then from then I got cracked.
So you got locked up on that scam, right? And you came out and do crack.
I got locked up on that. For that, I had to go to rehab.
Oh, that's good. You got lucky. Right?
Yeah,
up.
I got.
You were an N number.
Yeah, but then after that, then I got cracked on a good big possession, and that's when I went and did my little stretch.
They caught you with crack?
They with meth.
Oh, wow.
How long was that for?
About an ounce, almost an ounce.
How long did you do?
Almost 3 years.
Damn.
Yeah. And so that's when everything changed, because that's, you know, from one day to the next, that's it. You're a homeboy now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So you were never a homeboy before?
Nah, I mean, I was just like the homie, you know?
Nah, I was like the homie.
Yeah.
Wow. So you went from long. So you used to have long hair?
Yeah.
Your hair was long, like with a straight, curly, how was it?
It was wavy like that, and then once I, like, if I had to stop and get a job real quick, I'd go with the mullet, with the party in the back style.
Oh, my God.
Hey, like, man, it was the early 90s.
You were like the wrestler Bret Michaels, too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, and then like that, once I, you know, it was funny because I was listening to you guys' podcast with Emilio.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And a lot of the shit that he was talking about, I was like right on hit with it, because like when I first got cracked, and I would start telling stories and stuff like that, and then one of the homies took me aside and was like, "Hey man," because I, you know, back then I would use big words and like whatever. He's like, "Hey man, the homies ain't gonna understand some of those words that you're saying, and they're gonna take it as an insult. You know? So you need to, you know, talk like us." And ever since then, I talk like that. I don't, you know.
Damn, yeah. Dog. Indoctrination.
Yeah. So
you told that dude, "Wow."
And there was like no doubt about it. I joined up right away.
You told that dude, "Wow, I'm flabbergasted."
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about, homie. Words like that.
Stop saying sentences.
Yeah,
bro, don't use sentences and end everything with "man" or "fool" or "orderly."
Orderly.
Yeah. So when I got in there, I always had music. Like there was a black, actually a band room on the yard, but the dude who like ran it, he thought
Joe House Rock.
Yeah,
Joe House Rock.
He thought
you
he
were
was
locked up already. Where at?
At Ironwood.
Ironwood.
Ironwood's in Blythe.
Damn.
Yeah, it's right the fucking almost Arizona.
It's hot, huh?
Hot as fuck. Hot as fuck. It hit 100, sometimes at 8 in the morning.
You just take the 10 freeway forever?
I think something like that. I don't remember. I only
so
rode there on the bus.
100 degrees at 8 in the morning.
Yeah. 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 And those cheap little prison shoes will start melting on the asphalt if you walk.
So, yeah, they gave you Crocs to wear?
Oh, they gave us those little, like they look kind of like Vans, but they got, like, Velcro straps. They give us those, and then the brown shoes, you know the state issue.
So when you were locked up in there, man, that you were like, what was going through your mind, man? I'm not a rock star. I just like rocks.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, every shit. It's like you just got to get along. You got to get along, straight up. So I was down. I was down for whatever.
You have to learn street life and prison life in 1 week, huh?
But I knew the street life, yeah, but there's a lot of rules. There's a lot of rules.
Like no more air guitar in the yard, huh?
No more nothing like that. No air guitar, no.
No more. No more heavy metal screams.
No.
No more solos. You can't even say you like
heavy
metal.
Not by choice,
huh?
Anyways, no.
You can't even admit you like heavy metal, huh?
You gotta play oldies, bro.
It wasn't a big. As a matter of fact, while you're bullshitting, that's where I started rapping in jail.
MC Frog.
Yeah. MC Frog. Yeah, and then it, like to do battles or whatever, I had to ask the homies. You had to ask if you could battle against the black dudes.
Like but really,
there's no interaction.
Like 8 Mile, you know, right?
You can't be friendly, so you had to ask, and then they were like, "You better win."
So you battled somebody in prison.
Yeah.
Did you win?
I won a couple of times.
So you could freestyle?
No, not really. Oh. I'd have it written down. I don't even freestyle doing comedy. I have that shit mostly written down too.
How much time did you do the first time?
3 years, almost 3 years.
Damn, man! Whatever happened to
A break?
Giving somebody a break?
Yeah.
My first offense.
Yeah.
No such thing anymore. Or what?
Not in this town.
No.
What'd they get you for?
That was possession for sale. Possession for sale.
For meth. You must have had a lot then.
Yeah, it was quite a bit.
A pound?
Bit. No.
He said
no,
an ounce. It's not an ounce. Like he has a little corner of a baggie. Eh?
Yeah, it's about an ounce.
An ounce? Wow, that's $300 worth.
Right? No, it does more than that.
Well, that was you for your personal stuff to smoke?
No, I was getting outsling.
Oh.
So I could smoke for free. You know, get a hotel room, that kind of thing.
An economical tweaker.
Get some whores.
Yeah, and that's what I would rap about.
Financial like, tweaking.
You know how all these fools rap about it, Bentleys and whatever. I would just rap about like I got a pocket full of tens. You know, I got two hotel rooms right now. I'm balling. You know, like. You know, I got some fucking stolen Daytons for my fucking Le Sabre.
Instead of Le Sabre, dog.
So that shit didn't hit either. And, you know, because there was no more going back to a rock star. Nobody wants to see an old fat guy fucking play guitar.
I know who you're, Meathead.
I want to see AC/DC.
So.
Meatloaf.
Yeah. So then. Finally, I was like, man, I'm going to do this comedy shit because I always wanted to. And so my first show was at the Comedy Palace. It was open mic, but you could sign up like 2 weeks in advance.
The Comedy Palace is the Greek Palace.
The Greek Palace back then?
Friend. Yeah. You go get the lamb.
The first time I had lamb, G Rose was from that place. And I burped all the way home for 3 hours. I hated it.
I had some too. That was the first place I ever had it too. And so for that open mic, like I already knew 2 weeks before I was going to be on. So I promoted it like it was a show. You know, and I brought up everybody came, and so I went on last because the dude wanted everybody to stay.
Did Anna show up?
Right? No, Anna's in prison. She's doing years and years.
Because she's fucking turning in prison pants now.
Yeah, she did some crossing state lines shit or something.
Damn,
and that fucks you up with the
interstate.
Fence. Yeah.
You think she was more scandalous than you as far as stealing and stuff?
You know what? She didn't think so because...
she was a woman.
Because she wasn't actually doing anything.
At least I'm not stealing my body.
The mastermind.
Yeah, she was the mastermind. But that's what they... When they finally got the case against
Griselda Blanco.
Yeah, she was the godmother of scams.
Yeah. Fucking Anna.
Yeah.
Scammer.
Anna the scammer.
Some people just are good at stealing, man.
Yeah.
And running tranzas.
Yeah. And her boyfriend was named Dave. They're Filipinos.
Oh, yeah.
Boyfriend was named Dave. And Anna's mom couldn't hear. So she'd call Dave. She'd call him Jig. Jig. That's he knew. Fucking, she's calling Dave.
Why Jig?
I don't know, because she couldn't hear. So she didn't know how to say his name. Like, when she heard people say his name, she heard Jig.
What did the woman, Anna, finally get caught with?
I think she got caught for running an ongoing criminal enterprise.
Conspiracy.
Yeah.
That's some Martha Stewart shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, she got it. Luckily, I was gone by then. Because once I came back, that was it. Like
Case of the missing denims.
I gave up on all that shit. You know.
Yeah, she got caught for like running a conspiracy, like a RICO act or what?
Yeah.
Because she was like, she had a lot of people stealing for her.
Yeah. And
credit cards.
And
you
everybody
name it.
Ain't gonna keep their mouth shut, man. That's, you know, that's a fantasy.
Was she getting a cut from everything?
Yeah. Yeah, she was getting a big cut. Yep. Pretty much.
Crazy. Would you living here in San Diego, man, is there a lot of crews that bring in people in from Mexico?
For sure. This is, you know, back in the days a little bit more, but even just like people you wouldn't even think, like just like, you know, your cousin's boyfriend,
your
or whatever,
post office man,
you know, he brings a few every once in a while, just, you know, get some little extra monies or whatever. But yeah, no, as far as like real coyotes and all that, I don't,
people
I
never, smuggling,
I never knew nothing about that.
Yeah, my cousin, man, she used to be one of those smugglers. She used to bring in people, man. Like one day you having dinner, like 10 motherfuckers you never seen before.
they all
look scared.
That's crazy.
They're all just looking around like, no los maten.
Yeah, but yeah, well, at least they are not. Some of these motherfuckers are fucking bastards, huh?
Now, dude.
Man, that's fucked up. I always get pissed off when people are fucking over their own people. I don't even like Mexican border patrols.
No, why not?
Me off. Because, man, it's like, fuck, man. Somebody somewhere came here from sometime in your family, and now you're over here fucking,
So you did those 3 years, and that was it? You never went back?
No. I did a violation because I was drunk at the halfway house.
Oh.
So I had to go back real quick, but that was it. I never did.
Real quick.
I got a hold of some quick Pruno.
Yeah, I never, yeah. I know, I make Pruno. I can make Pruno.
You used to make Pruno in prison?
Yeah, I can make Pruno now.
Yeah, do you ever make that for your wife?
I make gourmet Pruno now. It's fucking all the... I make gourmet spreads. You know, I made
what kind of prison spreads did you make in prison?
Well, you got to get whatever you can.
What did you make, like tamales or what?
No. See, you know, the spreads is when you get like the soups. Everything's based on the soups.
Yeah.
Right? And you make it. But you drain the water, so it's kind of like a casserole.
You drain what water?
The water from like if you get like a top ramen,
yeah.
You're supposed to put the water.
And yeah, that's a flavor.
And then you eat it like a soup.
Yeah.
But if you drain the water away, it becomes just keep, like a casserole.
Just keep the soup or what? Or yeah, just keep the pasta?
Noodles,
yeah.
And the flavor, and then you add like your... Whatever it is, whatever meat you
Fritos.
Can get, and Fritos, and
that bean dip,
and mayonnaise,
bean
and,
dip,
yeah, all that,
cheese,
all that cheese,
and you mix it together
and
what?
Together, and then, you and the homies have lunch.
And that's good.
Yeah, it's good, man. I'll make you. Well, I don't know about a vegan spread, but. I'll make a spread. I made a carnita spread the other day. It was the shit.
How do people who are vegan survive in prison?
No, you would not survive. You would not be vegan no more.
Would they give you like a special meal?
You know what?
Not if you're
the,
like Muslim, right?
Yeah, the Muslims get like whatever, pork free. But you can't fucking trust that shit, I don't think. We used to get like, they have like a chicken patty. And then chicken fried steak, and then veal, and it was all the same fucking patty. It was just like some breaded fucking round. It all tasted the same to me. So I don't think they don't give a fuck what they're feeding you.
Different label.
You ever seen like people get beat up in prison?
Oh yeah, all the time.
For not following the rules?
For not following the rules, you get checked. That's just a little, you know, little touch up.
A touch up. Right? What happened to the homie, man? He just got a little touch-up.
Yeah, I got a little touch-up.
Little Photoshop.
He's going to do this scene with the black eye.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We didn't beat him up, man. We Photoshopped that motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. The good thing about it is that, you know, because like in the movies or whatever, it's like they always show like you're going to get, you got to go kill somebody or whatever. But there's always like youngsters that are eager to volunteer to do shit. So if you don't want to like really do nothing, you don't really got to do nothing. But if it's a situation where everybody goes, then everybody goes.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a riot time or whatever. you know, and there have been
you've only any riots in prison?
Oh yeah, yeah. We had a couple of good ones. Couple of good ones. You know, the I mean, the riots with the blacks are the ones. You know, the riots with the whites are cake. You know, it's a
they run, huh?
Yeah, it's a walkthrough. But yeah, no, but you know, with the because again, that just like with us, the blacks in there, Crip or Blood don't matter no more. It's because they got to be together.
Even if one blood killed the other Crip brother,
well, that might be different. But yeah, no, but that's the law. That's the rules.
How about Asians?
That's called others.
Russian fools.
Yeah, no, they ain't. I didn't see none.
My friend, how about Armenians? We are everywhere.
You know, yeah, sure, but no, there ain't that many. There ain't that many.
Did you meet anybody in prison that you said, man, this fool's smart, but he never going to get out?
Yeah. Yeah. There was
that intelligent people in there?
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes, I mean, yes. But there was also a lot of just smart dudes that weren't educated. You know? Like, I mean,
book smart, huh?
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, I used to like dudes that were smart dudes. They could tell you everything about everything, but you know, they need somebody to read them their letters for them because you know.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
this fool could quote Shakespeare, but he needs help reading yeah. Cat in the Hat.
Yeah,
you got to read it to that fool.
Pretty much.
I taught a poet cat.
Yeah. And, it's hard, man. It's hard when a dude fucking pulls you aside and says, hey, fool, trip out. I can't read. Fucking write this for me or whatever. And he's like, all right, man. There it is there.
So people could make money in their writing letters, huh?
Hell yeah. I wrote many a poems, love poems.
Got fucking Hemingway over here.
I'm going to turn into an author and shit, writing autobiographies.
I could rhyme like a motherfucker.
My homeboy Staples.
I'd be like, okay, I'd do like this. It'd be like this, like a pre-interview. Okay, so where do you and your old lady meet? Okay, and when was the first time you knew she was the one? All right, so I'll put that shit out in there.
Fucking the homie Hallmark, eh? You
know? Was it the pre-interview, dog?
That's good, though, bro. That's the way that's the way they do it. That's the way my wedding, the guy, the minister who did my wedding, that's what he asked, the same thing you asked. And he asked all those questions that you asked, and then he just put it all together, and he did the little ceremony.
Yeah. Show business in the can.
You can wait. You can marry people now, bro.
It's like Roxanne, the movie.
Well, so you were right there. Other information, okay, man. All right, okay, Spider. Where'd you meet your lady?
Yeah.
At the Cobra Bar. Okay, Cobra Bar.
Yeah.
She's at what time? Midnight. Okay, midnight.
Yeah.
Do you remember the song that was playing? Oh, yeah, I was playing Duke of Earl.
Yeah.
Then Frog were right.
Yeah.
When Duke of Earl played, that's when you walked into my heart at midnight at the Cobra Bar. You would write some romantic shit.
Oh, yeah.
But those fools will give you extra money. When the ladies will get it, when they respond and tell you, give it like
that. With, you know.
But they tell you, thank you, homie.
Yeah.
Would they ever get mad if you got too personal? But hey, homie, I don't disrespect
you. No, hey, you know, it's like everything was, they got last edit.
What if they can't read? I don't think no. Somebody ought to tell them.
No, most of them could read. There was only a few of them couldn't read.
But some of them can't even. They have no penmanship.
Yeah,
either,
no penmanship. No pen or the full art. See, because like sometimes I would write it, and then they'll take it to some other homie who will put it on a card. I'll feed me.
Oh, that guy. That guy. Calligrapher.
There was a team effort.
So you guys had your own staples in there.
Yeah.
And then someone will design the card.
Yeah,
huh? Artsy.
Get Kinko's.
Yep.
Wow. That's crazy. And then somebody will borrow ink.
Yeah. Oh, they used to, like, tattoo ink can be made. You know the blue razors? Like blue, like disposable razors?
Yeah.
They'll melt those down, and then they crush them up, and then they put oil, and that's ink. That's tattoo ink.
You could start your own Hallmark.
What happened? What happened to my back? I don't know, but I got this fucking plastic thing
in
my back.
But then it starts, after a while, it starts looking blue.
The coolest thing that I heard about ink in the can is how they used to take color from melt the M&Ms just to draw, like, cool-ass pictures.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Get the color that way.
They they'll take, like, you know how chips bags are like shiny on the inside? They'll fold those into like picture frames and all kinds of shit, man. They're fools. I mean, they got all day, you know? So they get creative with it.
That's crazy, man, how this guy will tell you, okay, when were you born? And then you will write the card. This other guy will do a calligraphy, real cholo writing. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what that is.
Yeah.
And then another guy will put the card together, and this guy has to borrow money for a stamp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when it leaves, they still open it up and edit it. The guards,
they look
see it
at
out. It.
They look at everything.
They read everything, huh?
Yeah, they can. If they have time. I mean, you know, I'm sure they're fucking lazy fuckers just like anybody else. I'm not sure they're looking at everything, but they can. Now, they sure for sure can.
I feel bad for not reading the letters I get from my family in jail now. All the time that goes into a letter.
A lot of time. I know there's a lot of people in prison, they make clocks. Because time goes by.
Time does go by. Yeah.
Total different world, though, huh?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Drugs.
Right now, fools in there listening to Walkmans.
Tapes.
Yeah.
No CDs?
They might have CDs by now, but it's a lot less.
Cell phones?
Oh, you can get them. But
they're illegal, huh?
I heard this is that at last somebody paid $1,100. For a smartphone in there.
How much time was in it?
No, it's like opened up. It's
opened up,
but yeah. So there's homies in the pen on Facebook. You know? I know a couple. Yeah, getting likes. Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
So when you were how did you get by? How'd you go from not going crazy or getting stabbed in prison?
Well, there was no danger because of the homies. You know, I mean, there was nobody fucking with us here, California. We're fucking deep everywhere, so there was no real danger like that. As far as getting along, man, I mean, shit. We had a lot of fun times too. You know, a lot of laughing and bullshitting and motherfuckers with fucking long tales of adventure. You know, so, you know, we get along. We get along all right.
How many times somebody take your canteen?
Never. Never.
That really happens though? People canteens are taken?
Yeah.
They're taken because of debts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they don't just punk you and take it, huh?
Y'all never owe
like, nobody. If you're a Mexican, nobody's going to... Another Mexican not going to take your canteen, right?
Nah. You might have a lot of fucking hangers-on.
Give me some, huh?
You know, yeah. Motherfucker that just every day coming by, every day. That's when I would bust out to my friend. You come too much, my friend. Too much. Yeah, but yeah, no.
Was your last year in there the hardest?
It was all the same up until the last month.
They fools trying to test you to make you stay there, huh?
You know, there was always that little bit of fucking, this motherfucker. You know?
He gets to leave.
I already told a few people. Once I figured that out, I stopped. I was like, I ain't going to tell nobody nothing. I'm just going to write it out. And then, boom, and then I got my halfway house. And then, boom, I went back.
For how long?
I just like finished the last couple of months, I think, last 2 months.
Because you were drunk?
Yeah.
Pruno or what happened?
No, just big. Actually, the halfway house wasn't that far from here. And it was next door to a garage where they work on your car or whatever. Fools would jump out of the window, run through where the dog was in the mechanic's place, jump another fence and go to the liquor store and come back, climb the fucking wall. So we got drunk a lot, and then, you know, I was always down for that.
What was your first meal when you got out? When you said, I got to eat this?
Oh, well, at the halfway house, my sisters would bring me Burger King, you know, double cheeseburgers. Fuck, I would tear up like three of them. You know, California burrito, tear up one of those, too. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. That was my new vice when I got out was eating and drinking because I wasn't gonna tweak no more because I knew that I would be right back.
So you haven't tweaked ever again?
Never again.
What made you decide that I'm never gonna do meth?
Man,
even if you drink now,
I'm not drinking right now.
Not at all.
No.
Because I know that if I drink, a beer, like if I decide to drink right now, even before I decided, I've already decided maybe a week before. But now I decided to drink today because I know that guy over there has a shitload of coke.
Yeah.
And I know I need a gateway to get to that guy. I can't go to that guy with all the coke sober. But if I start drinking right now, I'm going to go over there and then ask for a bump. And then I'm gone for 6 days. What's the longest you went awake? Because I know a crack, you start off small and then you forget. And then you've been fucking smoking crack for 5 days straight without sleeping.
Yeah.
I think the most I ever stood awake was 6 days, and I thought I was going to lose my mind.
Yeah, I stayed awake 7 days. Damn. 7 days, and then on the last day.
What is it like, bro? You don't even know about the third day. It's just normal, huh?
Yeah. But by the sixth, seventh day, you're seeing shit that's not there.
You think you lose crack?
Yeah, totally. You know, me and my cousin almost got in a fight because, you know, he gave me his sack. I packed the pipe. I gave it back to him. He put it in his pocket. And then later on when he looked at it, it didn't look like the right amount was still in there. So he put it on me. I'm like, dude, you handed it to me. I packed it. I gave it back to you. No, fuck that shit. You fucking stole my shit. Oh man,
it's true, right? You lose track by the sixth day, because I could see how Rick James, when he socked Charlie Murphy in the forehead, and right away he didn't remember, because when you're on cocaine for 6 days straight, you don't know what happened right now and what happened 3 days ago,
right?
You have no recollection of that shit.
Yeah, it's all a blur. Yeah.
Yeah, my brother, 6 day, man, you need a rest, man. Yeah, start all over again.
Hell yeah.
I don't think you could even feel you're smoking crack no more by that time.
No. And then sometimes what you would try to do is like, oh, this shit ain't keeping me awake no more. I got to try to find some other shit. Like, because, you know, there's many different shades of meth. It's not all the same thing. So maybe this shit from over here will fucking do the trick where this shit is not. Man, bad shit.
That's crazy. So you would go like 6 days, but then it's funny, like when you stop for like you take a day off, man, you feel like your body feels like healthy, and your body, you just want to do more, huh, right away, huh? You just feel,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like you're chasing a dragon.
Oh, yeah. That was the good shit was when you decided, like, I'm just going to go to sleep, and you still had some. So when you wake up,
that never happened to
you. Already know it's there. You wake up, have a big old meal, read the paper, and then fucking blast off.
And take crack a
big
meth.
Shit. Meth. And take a big shit and then go about your business.
Check out what's going on in these current events over here.
Yep.
So when you got out of prison, what's the first thing you did? Like when you were off parole, when you went, did you go back to school? What'd you do?
Oh, I got it. Well, I had to get a job right away. For the PO and everything like that. So I started working at a bowling alley. I was working at a bowling alley, and it was cool.
Frog lanes.
Cool. You know?
Kingpin over here.
Yeah. But then that ran out, and I just started, you know, I got my little
hustles. To the gutter.
They're mostly legal, you know, so it's all good.
So you were working at the bowling alley doing what?
I was a pin setter, working in the back.
The one mechanic?
Yeah.
So you were the guy putting the pins? I thought it was a machine.
It is a machine, but you got to keep the machines running.
Oh.
The machines are from the 40s.
Damn.
Yeah, like ours were 1945 machines.
Damn.
And so you got to keep those motherfuckers. They're always, you know,
maintenance,
fucking
oiled
up.
And
yeah,
shit.
You got to keep them. You got to keep them going. Got to keep them going. And over there too, I used to like entertain the people. You know, like because when it got late, if there's hardly nobody there, just go in the back and, you know, just kick it with all the bar workers and the, you know, and I would put on little shows for the motherfuckers. I was always like that, you know, that just entertaining, just always. So, yeah. Yeah. And then when I did that show, the Comedy Palace show, I told everybody, so I couldn't chicken out, you know? And so everybody was there. And like I said, I went on last. I ended up doing like 13 minutes, you know, and so it was like, it was like I was the headliner, meet and greet after and yeah. everything.
I was born to do this.
So ever since then, I've just been doing that.
So you did that comedy show, and then how many after that? You started going up with open mic?
Yeah, I started doing open mics, and they would let me, the Comedy Palace would let me do my own shows there, like, because I was bringing so many people at that time.
Yeah.
You know, everybody gets bored with it after a while, but at that time, I was still could bring pretty much every week. And since it was the same people every week, I would do like a new 10 minutes almost every week. So I had, so I, because I had like material from ever since. So I had a lot of shit to choose from and whatever. So,
so comedy has helped you stay away from trouble?
I would say, yeah.
Because now you have something else to do besides get high.
Definitely, you know, and the thing about it is, like now I'm trying not to drink or whatever, and it's kind of rough because everywhere's a bar or a club or, you know, booze.
Two drink minimum.
But, you know, but then again, though, like, my performances are better if I'm sober or close to sober, you know, whereas, you know, with drunk, it could be hit or miss. It could be real good hit or real good miss.
So, you were getting to a lot of fights. Did you ever, like, tweak at the Charger games?
Not really. Charger games were more always a drinking event. Just, you know, get up early. You get there at 9.
Start getting into a lot of fights back in the day with the Raiders.
Yeah.
Who's the Charger's biggest rival besides the Raiders?
Besides the city? Besides the Raiders? Yeah, Kansas City or whatever, but like that's like football rivalry.
Yeah.
We also have like parking lot rivalries.
Oh, yeah?
You know, because, I mean, you've seen how the Raider games
are. Yeah, D3 is Raiders.
Yeah. And so, you know, but we, us and the Raider fans have kind of gotten used to each other.
Yes.
To where it's not that bad like it used to be. It used to be bad. But nowadays, like when Cowboy fans come, Philadelphia Eagles fans come. They come and they don't know how to act.
Steelers.
So yeah, so we got to check them motherfuckers.
You got to touch them up.
Yeah, you got to. Yeah. Because you know what? It's like so, it's like it's such a subtle difference. But you could say fuck the Chargers, whatever, 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 but then when motherfuckers just make that little switch and say fuck San Diego, and now the homies ain't going to fucking let that go. Now it's on, you know. So there, yeah, there's been a lot of good brawls at that parking lot. Seen some plenty of blood. Yeah,
619.
Yeah,
it's always been 619, or did you change it?
Yeah, 619 has always been here, but like when we were kids, our
909, huh?
Was 714.
Shut up.
Yeah, from Orange County all the way to Riverside.
Yep. Oh. So, yeah, my first phone number was 714.
So, how long are you doing stand-up comedy now?
About 4 years, I would say.
What's your biggest show you had where you said, damn, this is it, baby?
With you?
All right.
No, for reals, dude. That last year when you put me on, that was like the highlight, man. That was
you killed, too. Shit.
Yeah, it was all right.
So, you've been doing any acting or anything?
You know, it's funny because I just did my first this homeboy Meddy Mike. He's like the big weed comic around here. And
what's his name?
Medicinal Michael.
Medicinal Mike. Medicinal Mike had a show in Las Vegas recently, right?
Yeah,
Birdman was on. Because they never got paid. No. But Birdman was on that show with Medicinal Mike in Las Vegas. I think it was the first weed show that they had.
Yeah.
I think Baby Bash was in it too.
Yeah, he makes these little movies about this dispensary and these weird like antics that go on at the dispensary. And so I was just supposed to be an extra, but the dude that was playing Ray wasn't there. So now I'm Ray. And you know, and I was like kind of the big part of the show, so it was all right. That, you know, I was just like making sure I didn't have to do nothing weird, Because, you know, he likes to have, like, dudes dress up as chicks and, you know, fucking whatever, whatever. And I was just like, yeah, I ain't doing nothing fucking like that for no fucking money.
So you've been out of prison how long now? 4 years?
It's been a long time.
How long? 10?
Yeah, like that.
Wow, so that's good, bro. Like, you're like one of the guys that... When you said, I'm never going to come back,
yeah,
and the guard told you, yeah, right, Frog, I'll see you next week.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's homies like that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I won't say my brother, but I know people that come out from doing 5 straight, and they get locked up that night.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, my ex's brother, that fool got locked up. Came out in 5 years for a violation the same night. He gets caught up in a carjacking and he's in a hospital, beat up. And you know the cops are going to go get him. And he escapes from the hospital in his hospital gown. So he's not going to go to the parole officer no more. He's done. Right. So now he's hiding.
Now he's on the run.
You don't when you're on the run like that, they're going to catch you sooner or later, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You can't run no more. Where are you going to go?
Nope. And there's some hotels that, like, you know, obviously they don't tell you, but they cooperate with the local cops and, you know, and they'll, like, let the cops look at their roster. If they get a hit, bam, they just wait. You got to come out sometime. You know, so because they can't technically go in, but they
can. Oh, it's some of the shady hotels?
Yeah.
Not the one you pay like $40 for a night?
Exactly. Well, that's all you can get.
What happened? Oh, man, like they busted me at the Andas.
Yeah. Yeah, they busted me at the Hot Penny Inn.
So what you been doing now? What do you do for a living now when you're done doing stand-up? I work for Levi's.
Yeah, I just get by. I just get by, though.
You know, yeah, smoke a lot of weed.
You know, I'm a lightweight for me, man. You know, so whatever, yeah, but not like a...
How'd you keep all your teeth, though? I always had good nutrition.
He's had good nutrition.
I used to do math and then brush my teeth real fast after.
Whoppers.
Brush my teeth with the fucking crunchy meth. No.
You got any shows coming up, man, for our audience to know? With Frog, fool. Enrique, what's your last name?
Cordero.
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 Yeah.
That's funny, man. My 6th grade teacher, he was Portuguese. His last name was Cordeiro.
It's the same name.
It's Cordier. It was Cordeiro. Cordeiro.
Yeah. That's same, the same name.
Same name?
It's just a Portuguese variation.
So, where are you from again?
My family's from Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, they speak Spanish, huh?
Yeah.
They don't speak no other kind of language?
No.
No special food different from Mexicans?
They got their, you know...
Chicken and rice?
Yeah, arroz con pollo. They got the gallo pinto, which is, you know, black beans and rice with you know, other stuff.
You got to fuck with more black beans than refried?
Yeah, more black beans. More black beans.
You got to mess with a lot of rice. No tortillas, huh?
Not really. Everything they eat with bread, like fresh bread.
You got tamales, all right?
Costa Rican tamales.
In a leaf, huh?
Yeah, they're different, yeah.
Those come with raisins, huh?
Yeah.
Oh!
Sometimes, yeah.
Everything, yeah. I don't know. Raisins. My mom would tell me she made tamales, man, and she put raisins and olives in there, and the olives had pits, bro.
Ah, imagine biting
I've been into that motherfucker. I said, man, this lady should be thrown in jail for making tamales with fucking raisins, potatoes. My mom put raisins, potatoes, olive with pits, and chicken in it, man. And I said, wow, mom, I don't know you make fucking two chicken tamales.
Yeah. Cornucopia tamales.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, I used to hate those ones that were like all masa.
Yeah.
And you barely get to the fucking middle, got a little chunk or something. That's bullshit.
I can't stand raisins.
So what kind of Costa Rica music is what? It's just any music?
You got salsa? Me on that. You got me on that.
Like, I have no idea, man. I just know how to rock.
Yeah.
Only you guys have a saying, pura vida, right?
Yeah, pura vida.
La pura vida.
Yeah, that's everybody's attitude down there. Is they just have fun, party.
You ever go to Costa Rica over there?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been all kinds of times.
They know you over there?
Yeah.
El Cholo ya vino.
Yeah,
no. They call you El Cholo?
Oh, man, when you go down there and you do something, it creeps back to your mom through the grapevine.
So your mom's over there?
No, it creeps back to here. somehow they find out, like, oh, they like to gossip and shit.
Yeah.
They like to talk shit, too. Like one time I was down there, and I had some new Ray-Bans. So I'm wearing, it's kind of cloudy. It ain't, you know. Some fucking fool from the bus driving by looks out the window and goes, ay, que sol.
What does that mean?
Like, oh, what, the fucking sunshine.
Oh.
Because I'm wearing glasses, Jeez. Yo. This motherfucker's on the bus talking shit, going by.
You want to give anybody a shout out, man?
Shout out to the homie Benji.
Benji's Mexican?
Yeah, Benji's Mexican. Benji Garcia Reyes. He's a
local comic.
He's the homie. He promotes right here. And I'm on all his shows all the time. That's Up Entertainment. That's his little.
You've been married now for how long?
Not married. We're engaged.
Oh, engaged. Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
But she's my right hand, Lonnie. She's my.
She's Hawaiian.
She is half Filipino and half Mexican.
Half Mexican, all right, yeah. Man. Same thing.
Yep, and his both parents are both half.
Half? Half what?
So both parents are both half Mexican and half Filipino. So it still equals to half.
Oh, wow.
That's so she's half.
Yep.
You have kids?
No kids.
Wow, bro. You're late. You have no kids?
No kids.
Wow, you're a soldier, bro. You're a Rodriguez, but he had no chick.
Yeah, no, I managed to make it this far.
How'd you meet your wife? Rehab?
No, when I got out, I started hanging out because
what happened on here?
He's
what?
All with poison.
I started hanging out with my cousins because I couldn't hang out with my old friends because they were all still doing the same shit. So I started hanging out with my cousins, and my cousins are younger than me. So I would party with them, and they would party with, you know, girls. And when my cousin Manuel met her good friend Linda, and so we all partied together, and then I met her at a party.
All right.
And then I worked on her for a long, long time before.
You tried every scam, the jeans, nothing worked.
Yeah, but now she takes me to the gigs. And
what does she do for a living?
All the shows. She works at a place called Vanguard Global Trading. They ship parts, car parts, all over the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's smart then. You guys are a power couple.
She's smart, yeah. Power couple. Yeah. Yeah.
So we gotta give some shout outs, man. Yep. On Mario, our listener from Oxnard, what's up, fool? Max and his wife Clara in Venice Beach. I met you guys on my honeymoon. We were having breakfast and you guys sat next to us. Max, thank you for listening all the way from Ojai, California. That's right. Mo in Reno, what's up, Mo? Thank you for listening to the show and saying, hey, man, and bringing your dark ass dad, bro. Who invited Coco Crispy? American Comedy Company, for letting me record this show with Frog. January 22nd, Ontario Improv. I'm going to be there with Fred Stoller and Melissa Villaseñor. I'm going to split the nights.
Hello, awesome, Fred Stoller.
In February, Flappers and Burbank. Oh, man, you're excited for this. Also in February, I'm coming to Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Tennessee?
Damn. At Comedy Catch. And that's what's up for that. So what's up, Franco? What you got going next, bro? Heart surgery? What?
After that, I got Ontario Improv January 28th with Jerry Garcia.
So what happened to the New Year's Eve show, bro, Rodrigo, man, with fucking Chepo and Scissor?
Went over
Scissor.
There like a soldier, sick as fuck.
But, how sick were you? Was Chucho? Dude.
Put it this way, dog. I was coughing so fucking hard that night, dog. I got a hemorrhoid, dog. Yeah. I didn't have a chance to go to the doctor, none of that shit, but hey, dog.
You got a hemorrhoid from coughing?
Hell yeah. I was coughing fucking violently, dog. I'm not fucking around, dog. I was fucked up. So I go over there and I bring out Cesar Serrato to host, and I bring fucking Chepo, Juan Garcia. He's been on the podcast, a feature, you know. And we do it. It's a show. And we go there, do the show, fucking dude, there's like fucking 36 people, dog. But it's all good, fool. I don't give a fuck. Fuck it. It's Rodrigo's show. There's 36 people, bro. So, fool, this fool goes up and hosts, dog, and fucking bombs.
That's so when a host bombs, bro.
And it's not one of those bombs, it's like a but it's like, all right, fucker, say a joke. And it's like, And it's like, no, he's having a conversation with the audience, fool.
Damn. He went
so
there.
Anyways, yeah, dude.
He's for the filibustering.
But we didn't get the vote, dog. So then he brings up Chepo, dog. This motherfucker starts bombing right away and then gets in a fucking argument with the lady, dog, on stage. And it doesn't go good, dog. And the chick's like, nah, you're an Oxnard. This is an 805. I'm checking you, fool.
Fuck.
Lady, please let me do my shit. Dude. And he gets a couple little, like, you know, But, you know, he did his time. And that other idiot goes back on stage and, go, you know, brings me up. And I'm like, fuck this. This is not going to happen to me, dog. Motherfuckers are paying my ass, dude. That fool's right there. Fuck that shit, dog. So I just fucking muscled through my material. It was cool. Did it. Fucking, you know, good night. Vámonos. And then fucking at the end, dude, I fucking go, what the fuck are you doing up there fucking around, dog?
Bombing.
Yeah, to fucking a Caesar.
Been doing comedy over 10 years, still bombing.
No, I'm his way.
New Year's Eve, bro.
You know, and the show went to 10, and then we had 2 hours till the fucking ball drops. And then Chepo goes and waits in the car, dog.
For what?
He didn't want to be inside, fool.
Why?
I guess he bombed so fucking bad, dog. So he's in the car all pissed, and this other idiot gets all fucking drunk, dog. So, all right, fuck it. I drank as much alcohol as that fool because I was trying to kill my fucking thos or whatever. And we go back to the hotel room at 12:40.
And Chippo's in her car the whole time?
Yeah, cold as fuck, all wrapped up like a bunny, fool. And all these old veteranos are all grabbing me and kissing me. I was like, ah, but fucking, eh. No action, fucking big old fucking brava all grabbing me. So we go back to the hotel room. And, you know, you can't smoke in hotel rooms. They'll kick your ass out, dog. So we get a roll away, and that fool Caesar's all drunk. Oh, they love me. And so I was like, hey, motherfucker, you were at a different show, dog. And then
they said jalapeno.
And this motherfucker starts smoking in the fucking hallway, smoking buds, dude. I was like, hey, fool, stop that shit. And then
the hotel desk told him?
Yeah, they're all, you can't do that. I was, oh, okay. And then the lady leaves, drops a roll away off, and this fool starts smoking in the room. I grabbed that motherfucker and kicked his ass the fuck out the room, dog. Damn. Haven't talked to that fool since. It was in Oxnard. And last time I got a fucking text, so sorry, I love you. Not tonight, cocksucker.
The Chippo bomb?
Yeah. Happy New Year's, by the way.
Yeah. Damn.
New year, new me.
Yeah. Oh, the Reno, bro. And it was cold as fuck over there, bro. 22 degrees.
I seen the video, though. And
when I showed up to Reno, the owner there of the comedy club, he saw my white Adidas. He said, that's the only shoes you got? We got snow in Lake Tahoe. And I said, man, I ain't going fucking hiking with you, motherfucker.
We're going to go wolf hunting.
He said, you're going to take me in front of the hotel. I'm going to get out of the in the hotel. I'm going to get out, go back into your truck, go to the show, jump back in your truck, and go to the show. I'm not going to do no hiking, no adventure sightings. I'm not a bird watcher here.
Fucking John Candy with the great outdoors and shit, huh? Fuck that.
These tennis shoes means I'm staying in.
But the shows were cool out there?
The shows were cool, man. I was out there with Chris Thorin, man. He came out, showed up with a keyboard and shit like Craig Robinson. He has a new bit, bro. You gotta hear it, bro. He sings. He does his new song with and Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy voice.
Oh no!
Shut up!
Shaka! I don't know how it goes, dude.
Bro, I'm just having so much fun here, bro.
So that's about it, bro. What's up, fool? Anything to add, Frog, or what?
Yeah, just let me give my. I'm on Twitter, Big Frog 619. I'm Up Entertainment on Twitter, and for the weed smokers at Nug Life Radio, I get on there every once in a while too with Medi Mike.
Medi Mike has Nug what?
Nug Life Radio.
Nug Life Radio with Medi Mike, and that's a guy. He changed his name to Medi Mike, and he does all the marijuana shows. He had the first one over there in Las Vegas. Hopefully, more stuff coming up from you guys, right?
Yep.
Flaco, anything to add, bro?
No. Flaco Martinez. Shout out to your doctor. Shout out to my doctor for keeping me here.
Hell yeah, Rodrigo, man. Fucking Happy New Year, all you guys. Hit me up on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
What's up, fool? Felipe Esparza. Follow me at... please, if you're listening to it on iTunes, subscribe to the show. Very important.
All right, baby.
What's up, fool? Podcast 2015.
What's up, fool? Podcast. Yes.